Guess what I really wanted to talk about this morning, though, is the nature of the global cult that we live in. We live in a global cult, even if you're a Christian. You live within an ideological system that is contrary to reality. They think it's reality, but it's not. They live in the matrix. They live in the matrix. They live in a system that believes that life comes from non-life and that entropy works in reverse. So you have all these people claiming to be scientific, all these people who are saying, we just live by the facts and rationality and logic, yet they believe that life comes from non-life and that entropy works in reverse. How is it that you can take random, hydrogen atoms, even if you start with that, and then all of a sudden you get strands of DNA and, ears and eyes and everything else? How did entropy start working in reverse and why? There's no explanation for that. There's no possible non-theistic explanation for that. God came down and he created the heavens and the earth. He made it perfect. And it's been going downhill ever since. The existence myth of the devil is that everything was a big accident and entropy works in reverse and life comes from non-life. Therefore, we're self-existing and have no, we don't answer to God. We don't answer to the Creator. It's the big lie. It's the original big lie. It's interesting how all of this really started with the rise of atheism. A lot of it goes back to the French era of the French Revolution. You have these different writers who are heralded today as the priests and prophets, really, and the leading intellectuals of our era for the last 300 years, 250 years. And society today generally accepts that their way of understanding the world is true. An atheistic system where we spontaneously emerged and are self-existing with no, we don't answer to God, don't answer to a creator, and when we're gone, we're gone. And this, of course, obviates the need for any moral code to on how to treat each other. It truly becomes beast versus beast, the survival of the fittest. There's no moral code that says you can't murder by the tens of millions men, women, and babies. And of course, that's what we've turned into. That's what we've turned into as a culture in the West, and not just through things like abortion, but clearly, when the communists took over China, that was that communist idea came from the West, and when the communists took over Pol Pot in Cambodia, and they killed 25% of their own people. That's an atheistic worldview there. And on down the line, Stalin, Lenin in Russia, killing tens of millions of their own people. If there's no God, if there's no heaven, if there's no hell, if there's no judgment day, if we're self-existing accidents, why not slaughter tens of millions of people in order to come up with whatever goal you want to have? You don't even need to justify it. And that's that's where we've emerged, and the world is bearing that fruit. So the priests and prophets of a world, of our world. So what does a priest do? A priest is the intermediary between God and man. And imagine that God is all knowledge, and he's the truth. God is the truth. And the priest intermediates between truth and all knowledge and reality and ignorant mankind. And a prophet is one who sees what the truth is and he proclaims it. And university professors fulfill that role in society today, and have for hundreds of years now. They have become the priests and prophets of this, not pagan, it's not even pagan, of this atheistic worldview. They are the priests and prophets. And they have their own holy scriptures. These holy scriptures are, scripture just means writing. And they may not call them holy, but they quote them as if they were holy. They refer to the ideas of the French Enlightenment thinkers. They refer to the ideas of more contemporary French communist thinkers, the Foucaults and other thinkers like that, who, has a lot to say, a lot of actually interesting things to say. I've written about him before. He actually undermines their own worldview. In many ways, he tears it apart. He tears apart the idea that you can actually have a thought that is truly that is not dependent on some structure. He says all thoughts are guided by structures of language. And I would agree with that. Jesus Christ being the Word of God. Jesus Christ being the ultimate expression of that truth. And so they write their Holy Scriptures and they quote each other ad nauseum via footnotes. And they write an existence myth called evolution with absolutely no mechanism whatsoever for entropy to work in reverse. We're just asked to believe it based on faith. And they've created this worldview. They've created the writings that uphold that worldview. They quote them to each other, and they teach them to our children and our grandchildren and our great grandchildren all down through the generations. Such that it's not possible really to think outside that worldview at this point of time in Western Europe, in the United States. Even those of us that are Christians, it takes a long time to deal with the idea of evolution because it's such a big lie, it's really hard to get your mind around it. So the way I do it is the foundation of the idea is that entropy works in reverse and that life comes from non-life. So if you want to reduce it to something digestible, that's what it is. If you don't know what entropy is, it's the second law of thermodynamics. It says over time, a system will go from a higher state of order to a lower state of order unless work and intelligence is put into it. Think of an apple. You put it on the counter, and in 2 months, it's rotted, and it's probably gone. The flies eat it, and it just goes away. Take a house, put it outside. 200 years from now, you might see its concrete foundations, and that's about it. 1,000 years from now, you may not even have the concrete foundations. That's entropy. Take an airplane, set it out on a tarmac for 500 years, might not be much left in 500 years. That's entropy in action. You don't take a mountain and set it outside, and in a million years, it becomes a fleet of 747s. It degrades, disintegrates, it becomes dust and sand. That's what entropy does. And somehow these priests and prophets have created a worldview, a religion, where you're supposed to believe that entropy works in reverse and that life comes from non-life. And it's the biggest lie. It's the biggest lie out there. So I'm especially for Christians, I encourage you to think through that and realize that. So you have a religious class of people that essentially leads and governs the society that we're in almost invisibly because we don't consider them to be religious leaders. They're just the people that know the truth, which is what a priest and a prophet is supposed to be. They have created a worldview and understanding of their position as the intellectuals, as the lights that people simply guide people in society into what is. And that is the role of a priest and a prophet. And they've taken that upon themselves, and they've propagated. This is what a professor does. A professor propagates, prophesies, professes what he believes. And he believes that what he's saying is the truth. And he prophesies that truth as a professor or a prophet. It's not complicated, but it's darkness. It's darkness, and even Christians get wrapped up in that. So I encourage Christians to unwrap their mind from the idea of evolution. Cats. So you've got the professors at the university. They are tax supported. They are tenured. They are entrenched. You cannot get rid of them. If anybody, a politician or anybody else, says we need to cut money to the universities, all hell will rain down on you, and everybody will get trotted out and said, well, you're anti-intellectual and you're anti-education. And they've built up a whole system where it's impossible to criticize education or the systems of education, as if that was the only way to do things. So they've made themselves untouchable, and they feed at the public trough. They get their salaries out of the tax base, and the government has even allowed students to go out and borrow unlimited funds, unlimited amounts of money in order to go to college, and then they're saddled with that financial burden for the rest of their life. And what a system. I mean, you know, the Catholic priests of 1300 didn't have a system that good. But these professors and these educational institutions, the universities, fulfill the same role. They fill that, the same religious role. And part of the religion is they don't call it a religion. They just say, well, it is what is. Well, that's what I say. I'm not teaching you religion. I'm not teaching you Christianity. I'm just teaching you what is. What is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's not a theory. That's not my religion. That's the truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know, God who? You say, God who? Well, Jesus Christ. And we can go into that later. Got to pull out some of the writings, and we'll go through the writings. I don't know why Christians or even non-Christians don't like somebody going through the writings, the Greek writings or the Hebrew writings. University professors go through writings all the time. They assign writings to you. They assign their scriptures to you. They assign this prophet's writings, and they assign you that prophet's writings. Now, they don't call them prophets, but they're professors, and they prophesy, and they profess, and they propagate. It's the same thing. They'll say, go read Foucault. Go read Marx. Go read Lenin. Go read Engels. Go read Joan Wallach Scott. Go read the feminist authors. Those are their prophets. Those are their holy books. Those are their religious works that they have you read in order to form your mind and frame your worldview. Why they have a problem with somebody doing the exact same thing with the Greek and Hebrew scriptures is a sign that they're jealous of their own religion. They want their own religion propagated and only their own religion propagated. They have zero tolerance for competing worldviews. Zero. Every time they say that they're for diversity and tolerance, they're lying through their teeth. They're lying out of their mouth. They have fits when people want to teach creation in grade schools because it's the introduction of a religion that they don't agree with. They want their own religion to be the monopoly in society. This idea that they want religious pluralism has never been the truth. For them, religious pluralism is if the entire society is taught evolution and everything that comes with that, and then if you want to sprinkle your evolution with some, flavors of this religion or that religion, they don't care because they have the foundation. They have your intellectual foundation. And that's where we're at. So it's a giant cult. So you've got the priests and the prophets. They're the university professors. You have, as evangelists, you have essentially, you have the media systems. You have the media systems, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post. These are huge icons of truth that propagate the truth that the university professors and priests propagate. And the mass media and the movies, too. And then, of course, you've got, you know, the various teachers and pastors, whether it's your high school teachers, your grade school teachers, and it's an entire religious system. It's a cult that has invaded this world, and they've established their institutions, they've bolstered their privileges, and it's virtually impossible to overthrow them. They have the full force of the United States government, the state governments, of the city governments, and you can't get rid of them. But all things come to an end. And this, you know, we've gone down 1789, 1889, 19, you know, we're looking at 250 years of the atheistic cycle. And it's the fruit of that has been Marxism and communism and totalitarian governments. It's the sign of man. If you want to get spooky, you can think of 666, the number of man, and where it's man has exalted himself above everything else. And religious ideas are simply something that man created in order to explain the world away. This is the idea, this is the main idea that we have governed ourselves under for, it's the main idea that has expanded over the last 250 years. And it's borne its fruit. It's borne its fruit in the Soviet Union. It's borne its fruit in communist China, Pol Pot, Nazi Germany, and now in Seattle. And if you think for a moment that this is going to be limited to some crazies in Seattle, I got news for you. What are the evangelists calling for? What is the MSNBC calling for? What's the New York Times calling for? Well, you know, I went to the store this morning to buy a jar of Aunt Jemima syrup. It's not even, you can't even have Aunt Jemima syrup anymore. And it may seem funny, but I've said this before, there is no limit to what they want. There's absolutely no limit to what they want. They will, I mean, if you haven't figured that out by now, you need to figure it out. Who voted to tear down these statues? Who voted to tear down all the statues back east and in the south of some of their heroes for their peoples? Who made that vote? Answer is nobody. You've got the Marxists and the anarchists and the leftists tearing them down violently, and the evangelists and the prophets of this religion cheering them on. Cheering them on. And if you dare contradict them, you are called the most evil, vile names in the world. And you are set upon with violence. And if ask the Sidelanders, ask the white Christian people in South Africa if they have any hope whatsoever of mercy from those that took power from them. So, you know, if you're white and if you're Christian, you need to pay attention to this. It's never enough. It will never be enough. Unless you get down on your hands and knees and lick their boots, it will not be enough. And it won't stop there. I'm telling you, it won't stop there. It won't stop there. In Seattle, they're telling all the white people, you need to start turning over your money right now to the blacks. And if you can't turn over a $10 bill, how are you going to do the complete reparations, where everything out there will be transferred to somebody that's not white? If you don't think it's not going to happen, you're a very poor student of history. You haven't studied Europe. You haven't studied the southern portion of Africa. You haven't studied invasions over time. This is going on right now. And there's nobody standing up and saying, we're not going to do this. Nobody is. And once these people seize power and achieve the perception of legitimacy, what is it you think they're going to, what do you think is going to stop them? What do you think is going to stop them from completely wiping you out and taking over? I think you're mistaken. So you've got the priests and the prophets. They've got their holy books. They've got their essentially their Bibles. That's why they get footnotes on everything, so they can quote their own prophets. And they, the teachers go to seminaries where they're seated with the ideas of these atheistic priests and prophets, and they go out and they teach your children and my children. And then Christians wake up 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 generations later, and they say, what happened? We don't understand this. We're trying to raise Christian children, and they come out completely pagan. They come out as, you know, they got all kinds of personal lifestyle issues. You know, you know what's going on out there. You know what's going on out there in Christian families. And Christian families don't understand it. And I'll give you a historical example of that. The Pilgrims, they were Protestant Christians in England, 1600-ish. And they said, you know what, we need to follow the Holy Scriptures. We need to live according to the Holy Scriptures. And they had their own churches and communities, and it got so hard to live in England as Christian men that they left and they went to Amsterdam. They said, maybe here, because there's religious liberty in Amsterdam. And they did have religious liberty in Amsterdam in the sense that you can do whatever you wanted to do, kind of like America today. Yeah, man, you want to be a Protestant, be a Protestant. You want to be Catholic, be a Catholic. Church of England, whatever, man, whatever toots your horn. And so they went there because they could go and not be persecuted by the government, by the English king. And what they found is as they raised their children adopted the mores of the culture around them. Their children became like the Dutch children, and they started getting involved in things they shouldn't get involved in, and you know, going the way of the world. At that point, they said, you know what? We need our own Christian nation state. We need our own Christian nation state. And we're going to go somewhere else, and we're going to found a Christian nation state. They had their own nation. A nation is a bloodline. So they took that bloodline of Christian peoples, they got on boats, they went to New England, and they set up a state. A state is the mechanism. The nation is the organism. And they came to North America to have a Christian order, a Christian nation state. That's why the Pilgrims came. And they were the founders. They were the Christian white European founders in New England, in North America. That's what they came for. And it was to worship God as an entire society. They knew that there was no Christianity without a Christian nation state. That's why they came to North America. And that's what they wanted. And eventually, essentially, Amsterdam caught up with the United States. And now we're back into this big mishmash of, you know, whatever floats your boat. But God forbid that anybody mandates that the Ten Commandments are the social and legal law of the land. Can't do that. That would be an imposition of a non-atheistic religion upon society. And the only religion that's permitted is the religion of atheism. Now, they don't call it a religion, but it's a worldview. It's a faith. You have to have faith that life comes from non-life. You have to have faith that entropy works in reverse. There's nothing in the history of the world that has ever demonstrated that entropy works in reverse or that life comes from non-life. And so essentially we live in a religious cult. We do. We live in a religious cult. And this religious cult will continue to grind out the Christians. And I've said this before. There was a peculiar call upon the Europeans to serve Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can go back and listen to some of my other videos on that. But this is why, you know, this is why the angst and ought against white Europeans. Because it was the receptacle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from them, the gospel of Jesus Christ spread across the face of the earth through the missionaries, the Christian missionaries, Spanish missionaries. And certainly in North America. And there's a special call and destiny upon the Europeans to serve Jesus Christ. That's why the Greek scriptures were written in Greek. It's a European tongue. All the Holy Scriptures written since Jesus Christ rose from the dead were written in a European tongue. Paul was sent to the Europeans. And that was the only place on the planet where Christianity took hold to such a degree that it changed the history of the world. Everywhere else, there might have been a dollop here, a dollop there, but not very much of it. And this is why Satan hates Christian Europeans. And he couldn't invade us from externally. You had the Islamic invasion from the south up through the Iberian Peninsula. You had various invasions from the east over the intervening centuries and millennia. They never could wipe out Christianity in Europe. And so eventually you know, the disease and rot came from within. And it's, you know, it always starts in the church. If I blame anybody, I'll blame the church. I'll blame the white European Christians. Because they've forsaken the God of their ancestor. They've forsaken Jesus Christ. And in the universities, the universities have always been established of religions in Europe. They have always been establishments of religion in Europe. All the great universities of Europe were Christian institutions. And they were set up to train ministers and preachers of the gospel. They were the priests and the prophets for society, and they trained other men to go out and to do the evangelism. And those institutions were simply co-opted by antichrists. And those institutions remain the universities, but instead of Christian men who are faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ and preaching from the Holy Scriptures, you have antichrist men who have written their own scriptures and then preach from there, and then train up their own evangelists to go out and to convert the world to their atheistic worldview. I hope that helps. I hope you can see that that's what's going on. And that system has to be changed. If you're going to build a Christian nation state, you know, it's like the time of Elijah. You had the pagan priests, and you think, well, they're, you know, the pagan prophets, and it's not any different than today with these university professors. They're antichrist. They've always been antichrist. They have an alternate set of scriptures, and we have to go to the heart of this system, and that's the heart of it. Because if you can control the minds of generations of children, you've converted them to your religion, and that's what's happened in the West. We have to get that back. And the fruit of their religion is always death, mayhem, and murder, and tyranny. Communism, in whatever name you want to say, what you want to put it is the future, unless Christian men stand up. There is no truth if you don't have the Holy Scriptures. The scriptures that they have written are lies. So where does this come from? What is this just Fritz's good idea? I'm going to throw this out there to you. The Jews, Judaism, abandon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They abandoned the God of Moses. They abandoned the God of David. All along the line, there were signs of this happening. And they rejected their God. And to the extent that instead of working from the law and the prophets, they invented their own oral tradition. 5 centuries before Jesus Christ showed up, they began this tradition of the elders. It was passed down from father and son, or an oral tradition. We had to memorize it, and they studied and studied and studied. And it became the Talmud. Eventually, they wrote it down. After Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there was no longer a geographic center for Judaism. And so they wrote it down, and that became the Talmud, which of course, they have today, and they study today. And that is their... that is their main guiding book. And John the Baptist knew this, and Jesus Christ knew this. This is why when the Pharisees, who followed the Talmud, the teachings of the elders, the traditions of the elders, the teachings of the elders, the traditions of men, he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, you are a brood of vipers. Y'all are a brood of vipers. Well, what is a brood? A brood is the offspring. What's a viper? It's a snake. It's a serpent. And if that doesn't ring a bell for you as a Christian, as a student of the Bible, spend some more time in the Bible. Genesis 3:15. God spoke to the serpent. And he says, your seed will be at aught with the seed of the woman. Who's the seed of the woman? Well, it's going to be those that serve God. And, you know, for us today, it's those that are born again through Jesus Christ. And so when John the Baptist said, you brood of serpents, he was referring right back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God himself spoke about the seed of the serpent, the brood of the vipers. And John the Baptist identified those Pharisees, the followers of these traditions of men, as the brood of vipers. Jesus Christ shows up, and John the Baptist warns them of the wrath to come. Jesus Christ shows up, and he's scathing in his treatment of these men who follow the traditions of men. And he tells them, you are a brood of vipers. And he says, not only allegorically, you know, he comes right out and says it, you're of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And they said, no, we're not of our father, the devil. Abraham was our father. Jesus says, if Abraham was your father, you would believe in me. And he said, if you think you have the Holy Scriptures and that you find God in them, if you believed in Moses, if you believed in the Scriptures, you would have believed in me. That's what Jesus says. So when somebody says to me, well, you know, the Jews believe in you know, the same Scriptures we do. If that were true, they would believe in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ said. So, you know, if you want to argue with me on that, you need to go talk to, have a conversation with Jesus Christ about that. Jesus said, if you believed the Scriptures, you would have believed in me. If you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. He said, you are of your father, the devil. It was very, very clear. And, you know, the Jews tried to kill Jesus even as a baby. Herod came in and it was important enough to kill Jesus that he slaughtered, I don't know, tens of thousands of his own bloodline, his own Jewish people. And the Jews from day one, they were trying to figure out a way to kill him. And finally they did. Finally the Jews did kill him. And I know there's Christians out there saying, well, the Jews didn't kill him, the Romans did. Go read the sermon of Stephen. Go read Stephen. That's pretty much the beginning and the end of it. Not only did the Jews kill Jesus, but they took a step lower and they made themselves holier than thou, and they had somebody else do the dirty work. They didn't have enough honor and courage to do it themselves. So it was, you know, it doesn't make them more innocent that they got the Romans to kill him. It makes them less innocent. And the hypocrisy of those followers of the traditions of men is amazing when they paid Judas to betray him and essentially murder him. And then when Judas came back to give the money back, he said, no, that's tainted money. We can't take that. That's blood money. We don't want anything to do with that. The hypocrisy was stunning. But the point of all this is that men came up with their own ideas of right and wrong, their own traditions. The precepts of the elders, the traditions of the fathers, and what the church has done is essentially done the same thing. We've gone away from the Holy Scriptures and we've come up with our own ideas of what's right and wrong, morality, and truth. And we've acceded to the evangelism of the Antichrist to such a degree that the church has no effect in the world today. The church is supposed to be a powerful institution. It's supposed to actually matter. It's supposed to actually influence society and act as a preservative in society. Because if you don't have the church doing that, everything goes downhill. And that's what we see in the United States today. And the university professors are essentially, they're writing their own scriptures. And they're coming up with their own traditions of men. And their own writings, like the Talmud. And they may call them academic papers, academic journals, books by professors. But it's an entire competing religious system that stands against the truth, and it is Antichrist. And as we rebuild a world, we have to understand that. You've got to wrap your mind around that. There is no such thing as building a Christian worldview on pagan principles. And when Jesus came in, he says, the axe, John the Baptist, the axe has already been laid at the root. The axe is laid at the root. This is all going down. It's all going down. And we're going to build something new on the rock of Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, this is about Jesus Christ. Anybody that tells you that this is about a Judeo-Christian worldview or Judeo-Christian values, they are part of the problem. They're part of the problem. They are part of the people that have their own traditions that isn't based on the law and the prophets or the gospels. And they're trying to create something new, something that's going to be inoffensive to the Antichrist. And nothing could be further than truth. How can you talk about Judeo-Christian anything when it was Jesus Christ himself that A, that was murdered by the Jews, and B, told them that they're children of Satan? And if you don't believe that, go back and read the Gospels and see what his relationship with the Jews was like. And, you know, the fairy tale in you know, Christianity, and again, you know, it took me a long time to come to this point, was that these were just, you know, hypocritical. They're essentially, you know, they believe the right thing, but they're just hypocrites because they did one thing, they said one thing, and they did another. No, man. It goes way, way deeper than that. It goes way deeper than that. All of us are personal hypocrites. There's not a one of us that's not a personal hypocrite, that we aspire to something, but we live something different, lower. I don't care who you are. And there's, you know, most men are probably better men than I am, for sure. But none of us is perfect in our ways. But what the Jews did is they said, well, we don't even need the law or the prophets. We're going to come up with our own traditions. And, you know, that's what the late Western world has done. They've rejected the truth. The greatest truth in the world is the Holy Scriptures, the Greek and the Hebrew writings. I look at young people today. It's kind of scary that I talk about young people as if they're them and not me, because I, you know, it wasn't that long ago I was they. And they got on their blue hair, and they got on their nose rings, and they're experimenting with different so-called lifestyles, trying to find themselves, and they think they're being original and unique and rebellious and transgressive and bold and, you know, throwing off the constraints of society. And I think to myself, you know, you're missing it. If you want to do something truly unique and bold, go read the Bible. Go read the first 11 chapters of Genesis if you want to do something truly unique and bold.